We're ready for the 31st verse of the 22nd chapter of Luke. I promised not to keep you long today. We'll have a sermon act, and then we'll go home. I realize that some of you are very hungry, not having had very much breakfast. And usually breakfast is one of the heaviest meals that I have. I feel sorry for those boys. It's true. They always go without breakfast, and when break time comes at 10 o'clock, they run to the dining room as fast as they can go, and they tank up on junk food. In fact, not the junk food. I feel sorry for those boys. Sweets, you know, sweets and stuff like that. And then between 10:30 and 4:30, their brain is numb, and they can't think. They can't even answer a question asked to the teacher, because sugar will do the brain that way. According to the nutritionist, it will stop the thinking facility. Oh, well, donuts and candy and cookies and stuff like that will numb a person's brain. So if they want to be numb in class, well, it's okay with me. I don't mind giving up. I just do give an F to give an A. All right. Let's go to verse 31 of the 22nd chapter of Luke. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. This word desired right there means to demand for oneself. And this is Satan now demanding of the Lord Jesus Christ that he give Simon Peter to him, to Satan. Demand, he makes a strong demand right here. I demand that you do it, Lord. And it also means to beg something for oneself. So Satan begs Jesus Christ for Simon Peter. Satan demanded that Christ hand Simon Peter over to him, and that shows the graftiness and the nerve of this angel, Satan. And later events prove that Satan got his way. It's a fact. You can read the rest of this chapter and find out that Satan had his way in the book of Psalms. Now, Simon Peter was an apostle. He was a favorite apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now then Satan has begged and demanded that Christ hand Simon Peter over to him, that he may sift you as wheat. That word sift right there means to shake a sieve. To shake a sieve. And I remember when I was growing up as a boy, my mother had a sieve, and every morning before breakfast, she would always shake the sieve to make biscuits. Put the flour in the sieve, and then she would shake it vigorously in order to get the unwanted particles out of the flour. Sometimes there would be weevils in that flour. Yeah, that's right. You buy flour in that day with weevils in it. Well, we eat biscuits today. We don't know what we're eating with 5 miles full of it. It'd be full of weevils. But anyway, the flour that was sifted by our mothers long ago didn't have any sand or grit or weevils or rats or mice or anything else in it. It was just good, clean flour. And when those biscuits were made, they stuck to the ribs. You could get out there and work in the field and go in with eagle axe and grow crops. So this means to shake a sieve right here, just to shake it vigorously. And that's what the devil wanted to do to Simon Peter. Think about it now, he's an apostle, he's a favorite man of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil wants to shake him like a troll in order to get the unwanted particles out of him, I guess, and because Simon Peter had a lot of knots on him, and a lot of pins and mistakes and things of that kind, and the only way that he could get them out was to the devil to shake his foot. All right, Jesus says in the 32nd verse, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And when thou art converted, strengthen thy trust. Now, I will comment on that verse and just dip it. Jesus Christ here is praying for Simon Peter that his faith not fail. He didn't, he knew that Simon Peter couldn't lose his salvation. lives in faith. And so this is an urgent request of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prayer here, says, I have urgently requested for thee, in your behalf, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, that is, when you change into a different man, I want you to strengthen your friends. And he said unto him, that is, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. Now that sounds just exactly like Simon Peter. He was a little hard on certain occasions, and he certainly did blow hard on this occasion. I'm ready to go both into jail and into death. And you know, that reminds us that Simon Peter was a boastful man, and he was a guy who liked to brag on himself and do what he wanted to do. He didn't need the prayer of Jesus Christ. He didn't need because the Father to help him, but he was self-sufficient. He could help himself. Dr. Van Tavener said one time, I saw beside a copy of Who's Who a new book. Who was who? Come on, put that up here on the board. Who was who? Who? That's a new book. I have not seen it, but it's a new book. Who was who? We all know about that book, Who is Who? Now, he saw this copy of this book, Who Was Who? You know, how quickly men fall from heroes to zeros. Now, that's true, my friend. And Simon Peter fell down to a zero on this occasion. He was an absolute nothing. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass, according to 1 Peter 1 and 24. And you know, if we read about the great things that Alexander the Great did, and the kings of the Rome, and the kings of England, and the kings of France, and the princes of Germany, and the royalty of Russia, we read all about those guys. And I would give one wheel of my big toe for anything that those rascals did. The kings of Spain, the kings of Portugal. Now, all they did, my friend, was make orphans and widows. And that's all they did in our wars in Europe and Asia. You come over to this land, that's all we've done since the colonial days, is fight, fight, fight. That's all America's done. She landed here on the eastern seaboard and started fight, and we've been fighting ever since. Well, that's the glory of man. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. And so, who was who? Well, who cares who was who? I don't give a rip. I would give a wiggle of my little toe for who was who. My friends, the only thing that counts is to be saved by grace through faith and live for Jesus Christ in this world. That's the only thing that counts, because the glory of man soon fades. What about Napoleon Bonaparte? He's gone to die. What about the chancellors of Germany? They've all gone to die. What about the kings of England? They're all died. How about the presidents of this country? Who give a rip about Richard Nixon? He's ready to go to death too. He's already gone to death as president. Who was who anyhow? The glory of man. Simon Peter right here bragging and boasting, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison unto death. And he didn't mean a word of it. Before this chapter's over, he denies Jesus Christ three times. He didn't even give the rooster time to crow once. The rooster didn't even crow once until Simon Peter had denied his Lord three times. That's the glory of man. Now, what? You know, my friend, pride is a good thing, but be sure it's the kind that keeps the chin up and not your nose. There are a lot of people that go around with their nose in the air, you know. Boy, I'm getting a new better than you. Well, look at me. I can drink martinis. I can drink cocktails, boy. And I've got the man I can eat still AD yawn and all. Jump. That's just jump, my friend. I can drink alcohol. I can hold it better than you can. All of that is just a glorious man. That's all it is. It soon fades away. You know, in the November issue of the Richard Digest, there's a story, a big long story about the death of a surgeon. If you haven't read it, I hope you do. That man was a good person. Boy, he was a good one of the best in America. But he couldn't quit smoking cigarettes. He was a chain smoker almost, and he died when he was 55 years old. At the height of his power, just because he couldn't give up smoking a little tiny ball of cigarettes. And he got cancer from it. Died from a galloping cancer at the last. That's the glorious man. The glorious man. And that grass. You know, grass doesn't last very long, just the season. Like the leaves out there on those trees, they're falling already. And we'll soon have to hold them up, those bombs. If the wind doesn't blow them away, we hope the wind blows them away, and it'll save us the job, though. Well, don't look down on anybody, my brethren. God, only God sits up that high. You know, many people will not kill a mouse without telling the whole world about it. But Samson killed a lion one time and he never said one word. That's true. You know, we don't speak much about what God has done for us, but we'll say a very little about what we've done for God. Simon Peter said, Lord, I'll go to jail with you. I'll even die for you. He didn't mean a word of it. Just one full hard shot, that's all. That's Simon Peter. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, Lord, oh, here's a good spot. Let's make three tents, three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. That's just full hard stuff. He had a rattle brain. That's Simon Peter. Blow them off. You know, there's a little fable that tells a great truth right here. There was a woodpecker one time that was pecking away at the trunk of a dead tree. And suddenly lightning struck that tree and just shattered it all to pieces. And the little woodpecker was unharmed, so he flew away. And when he did, he looked back to the place where that tree was, and he said, oh, look what an idea. Well, that's what Simon Peter was. Look what I did. You know, Nebuchadnezzar said one time, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Great Babylon. Look at my hanging gardens. Look at the great city I built here. Boy, I'm armed city. Well, where's Nebuchadnezzar today? You couldn't find his grave in Babylonia. You can't even find his city. It's nothing but dirt in winter and sand in summer. That's the glory of man. That's what pride will do. Egotism, conceit. Well, Simon Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you. Lord, we'll stay with you. I'm going to be your most faithful apostle, Lord. Whether you go to jail, whether you go to death, right there you'll find me by your side. No, he didn't mean a word of it. He's lying. Just lying. Living for the flesh. Glorying in man. A little boy went up to the apple tree one time. A little boy. But he decided that the father of him, Gary, went up to the apple tree. And the dead tree. All the men were dead. The trunk was dead. And he climbed up all those limbs and it break off. Climbed on another limb and break off. His dad was under that tree. And his dad sitting down in front of him. He worked up, I'll catch you. And the little boy went down, and he climbed up to another limb that broke off. And he climbed up to another limb that broke off. And he said, Dad, I may have to trust you. These limbs don't hold me. Finally, he did. He let himself go. And he jumped, and there he landed in his dad's arms. And his dad said, now, let's hope me a lesson that I've never been taught in my whole life. My boy jumping out of that tree into my arms. He said, Lord, I ought to do you that way. I ought to just trust you and jump into your arms and let you handle my affairs from now on. That's what we ought all to do. That's what Simon Peter should have done on this occasion. Yes, sir, he should have done that. He should have spent on the Lord instead of spending on the flesh. Jesus Christ said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And thy faith fail not. And thou art converted, strengthened thy brother. When you change into another man, Simon Peter, when you stop depending on the flesh and the carnal man and the outward man, and you depend on me, When you do that, then you strengthen the brethren. And he did that on the day of Pentecost, my brother. He did that. He got up and preached. 50,000, I don't know how many thousand people listened to him on that occasion. And 3,000 of those people were saved, born again, on the day of Pentecost. Simon Peter was strengthening his brethren. Verse 34 says, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock, the rooster shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice that you know me. You'll even say three times that you don't know anything about me. Well, Jesus Christ was telling the truth. He was telling the truth right there. That's what Simon Peter did. You know, the devil is never more dangerous than when he walks in velvet slippers. Satan is transformed into an angel of light. An angel of light. That means that he looks like the truth. He looks like a genuine Bible. He looks like a man who never would have heresy on his fingertips or in the pores of his chin. And he's an angel of light. Boy, everything is just so nice and so fine. And you know, my friends, during World War Number Two, there was a dangerous nuisance that came to the country of England. England, it was called the optimist nuisance. There was a false impression created that the war was all but won because England was winning on the land and on the sea and in the air. And everybody said, oh, we're going to win. Adolf Hitler doesn't have a chance. And so we're on the winning side and we feel so good. And the recruiting of soldiers fell off. And the whole atmosphere of great certainty began to go down. Well, the State Department war issued warnings that this war is not over. We still have a stubborn enemy to fight. We better get our war clothes on, so to speak, and go to work. You know, my friends, that's the way it is with God's people. God's children are engaged in constant warfare. We have an enemy, Satan, that's very stubborn. And our warfare, we're not to sign an armistice or something of that kind, a peace treaty with Satan, but we're to get in there and fight. Because no peace treaty can be signed with Satan. Christ refuses to sign a peace treaty with him, because Christ, some of these days, will throw him into a bottomless pit. All right. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now you tell me you're going to jail if I go to jail? You tell me if I go to death, you will go to death? No, no, Simon Peter. Before this day is out, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, that's the sermonette. May we stand, please? May we stand? Everybody is standing, please. Appreciate you being here today, brethren. Appreciate the faithfulness of this church and its services. Appreciate the Sunday school hour and the comments you made, the questions you asked. You made the Sunday school lesson very interesting with your explanation and things like that. Is there anyone who has an announcement to be made before we did?